哋成日常見嘅健康問題嘅。咁有請 Dr. Jeff Zhang 再同我哋大家分享。
They always try and box me in these things, and I really don't like them. That's why I like to move around. That's why they give me this microphone, so I can break the rules and come over to this side of the stage. Dr. Deirdre, I'm the same. I like to lift heavy things and put them down again. I like to move, so they can't keep me boxed into the one side of the stage. So. Today, this talk, this afternoon, will be about the top five health concerns here in Hong Kong. So, they're pretty in line with the top health concerns in other countries around the world, in this region in particular. I'll be giving a similar talk just about a week from now in Taiwan on this same idea. So, before I get into that, I want to share with you a little bit more, following nicely with Deirdre's presentation there, about quality assurance with pycnogenol. Pycnogenol is extracted from the bark of this unique species of pine tree here in this region, in the southwest corner of France. And it's this particular region where these trees grow. It's the only place in the world where these trees grow. So, it's one of the largest forests in Europe, a very beautiful area. The trees, it is essentially a natural forest. It was planted originally during the time of Napoleon III, it's about 150, 160 years ago, but today it's essentially like a natural forest. No pesticides are used or fertilizers are used in growing the trees. And it is produced responsibly, so there's no undue environmental pollution that is produced in the production of the product. The forest itself is maintained by the government of France. So it's continually recycled like this. You have a planting cycle and the trees grow, and then after about 35 or 50 years, they're harvested. And the trees are harvested for wood products. They make furniture and things like this, etc. And then the bark that is usable, that is of good quality, then gets delivered to our factory, which is located directly in the center of the forest. And so a production of the extract can begin within 48 hours after cutting the trees. So it's a very fast process. Here's the bark. Okay? So this gives you an idea. It comes in very thick in waves on the tree. And this compared to other species of maritime pine in other parts of the world, what you see is that this bark is exceptionally thick. Even just down the coast in Spain, they have maritime pine trees. But the big thickness of the bark is only about half of this. The average thickness of maritime pine tree bark in other parts of the world is generally about 1.5 centimeters. Whereas for the French maritime pine tree, it's 4 centimeters. And it's very deep red in color, as you can see, which means it has the highest concentration of these compounds that provide the benefit for us. So you can see how thick that is. And the deep red color is the active compounds in there. So we have 4 dedicated buildings just for pycnogenol production alone. And everything is automated. So once the bark goes in until the powder comes out at the end, there's no human being in there playing with it, so you don't have to worry about contamination of the product in the process. 30,000 metric tons capacity, so 12 truckloads of bark per day. It's a very labor-intense process because it requires 1,000 kilograms of bark to make only 1 kilogram of pycnogenol. So it's a very 1,000-to-1 extraction, very labor-intensive, bulk quantity-intensive process. So the bark goes through a process where it's calibrated based on its size and make sure it's of good quality before it goes into the extraction plant. So you can see there, this is an example of a good bark, okay? And then it goes into the extraction process. And again, this is all fully automated, so people are not in this environment. And once it's in this process, it all is running through a system of pipes and these containers like this, where the extraction is occurring. Then it's shipped through pipes over to the drying plant, and where it is dried at a high temperature to burn off. It's basically a water and alcohol extract, and all of that is completely burned off during the spray drying process. And in the end, all you have is this very fine red powder. Each one is bagged in their own individual bags here, and each batch is tested to make sure that there are no contaminants in there, to make sure that it does have the right chemical profile, as pycnogenol is a standardized extract. And pycnogenol is also a pharmaceutical compound. It's used as a drug in 11 countries in the world. And therefore, it has to be of the highest standards when it's produced. And there's the extract itself. Each batch comes with its own quality certificate of analysis that shows you that it contains the right amounts of the right compounds and that it doesn't contain any contaminants or potentially harmful substances. And then each batch is kept, a certain amount of each batch is kept for up to 5 years, just for safety concerns, should there ever be a report of anything negative associated with the pycnogenol product, then we can check the batch and we can say, no, there is no contaminants in there, so on and so forth. Thankfully, we've never had to use this, but we keep it just in case. So a little bit about the product itself. It's a very big market for pycnogenol all around the world. It's sold in more than 80 countries. Again, it's a pharmaceutical in 11 countries. And one of the strongest points of pycnogenol is this 40 years of research. So we continue to do more research every year to continue to show to you and to your friends or your consumers, your customers, that pycnogenol is safe and that it is effective, that we're not just making up stories about what it can do, or we have the research to prove it. One quick point about the OPCs, the oligomeric proanthocyanidins, this mouthful of a word. This is actually a family of compounds. This is a class of compounds, okay? So when somebody says they have a very high OPC containing product, that may be that it contains several of these compounds, the procyanidins, many different kinds of words that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Okay, but there are all these polyphenol compounds that have these similar functions in the body, but each one is slightly chemically structured differently, and therefore will have a slightly different effect in the body. What you need to know about pycnogenol is that pycnogenol standardized to the procyanidin content. It contains a very high concentration of procyanidins, and only the procyanidins. So when you say it's an OPC product, yes, it is an OPC product, pycnogenol is, but it's unique in that it contains only a very high concentration of procyanidins. It doesn't contain these, it doesn't contain these. So that makes pycnogenol a unique polyphenol compound, polyphenol extract. Quality, again, dedicated extraction process, production plant. It's a GMP certified process. That means that it's produced to pharmaceutical grade, and it's been tested extensively for safety, for toxicity. And we have now about 150 clinical studies, more than 10,000 patients worth of data, and we know that pycnogenol is safe even to take on a long-term, a daily basis. So again, this is a little bit about the data. See, here's the clinical studies, numbers of patients. So an extremely large amount of data for you to fall back on. And this is a slide I showed you earlier, so I'm going to skip that. Pycnogenol supports the cornerstones of health. This is basically the idea of pycnogenol being a strong antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, supporting circulation, and supporting blood sugar health. And as a result, these are the key factors in our lives that will help us to age better, slow down the aging process, improve body function, and therefore also help to reduce the risk for disease. So again, antioxidant. This is important because our body's natural antioxidant defenses peak at about 25. and then they start to decline. And as the body's antioxidant defenses decline, free radicals build up. And this contributes to increasing the risk for disease. Anti-inflammatory. We know the different pathways of pycnogenol works to block inflammation in the body. And we know that it can significantly relieve pain in many cases. Again, it is not a drug for pain relief. It's not a drug for pain relief. So the action takes longer than you would, say, like taking an aspirin or that type of pain medication. However, you can see significant improvement in pain symptoms. This is where pycnogenol is used as a drug in those 11 countries. It's for cardiovascular health. It's to strengthen the blood vessels and to improve their function, improve blood flow. And in those 11 countries where pycnogenol is registered as a drug, this is the function that it is used for. But it also helps to balance cholesterol levels, triglycerides, so very good for heart health. Now blood sugar, again, we've discussed this earlier, controlling blood sugar, controlling the digestion, the breakdown and absorption of sugar in the body. So here we are, the top five health concerns for here in Hong Kong. You can see number one is cancer, and that's pretty typical in every country in the world today. Then lung disease is number two here, followed by heart disease and cerebral vascular disease. Really, heart disease and cerebral vascular disease are almost the same thing. It's the diseases of the blood vessels, just depends on what part of the body it's in. And then kidney disease. So we'll go through each one of these, starting with number one, cancer, malignant neoplasms. Now, how these natural substances, and OPCs in particular, can be beneficial in reducing the risk for cancer is basically through its antioxidant support of the body. One of the causes of cancer, or one of the proposed causes of cancer, is the damage due to free radical stress in the body. Whether this is of natural causes or unnatural causes, say from radiation exposure or something like that. Radiation basically causes a very high amount of free radicals in the body, and it's the damage from these free radicals that causes the cancer. It's not the radiation itself. So, how this works, then if we go back to Deirdre's talk, she talked about free radicals being produced every day in our bodies through basic metabolism. That's what's happening here. So in our cells, we have these workhorses called mitochondria that produce the energy in our bodies. And about 5% of all the energy that mitochondria produces comes out as free radicals in the cell. And so if left by itself, these free radicals can cause damage to the cell wall, to the DNA, to the enzymes in the cell. And so this can decrease cell function, potentially increase risk for cancer development. Of course, our body has continuous repair processes, so it can help to balance this, but as we age, these processes decline in function, and therefore we have an increased risk for disease. Pycnogenol is a water-soluble compound, antioxidant, and so it can function inside of the cell. This is a water environment inside the cell. And so it can absorb these free radicals and help reduce the damage to compounds, to the enzymes, to the DNA, and protect your cell function. This is part of why some people have better energy when they take OPCs or pycnogenol. And yes, the super antioxidants, so that's what this slide is showing you here. Compared to other common antioxidant compounds, all in the same concentration, you see that pycnogenol is a superior antioxidant by far. This is an in vitro study done in a petri dish. So it's interesting to look at, but what's most important is clinical data. And we have, luckily, a wealth of this. This is the most recent study done with 150 people. Half of them are taking a placebo, and half are taking only 50 milligrams of pycnogenol per day. And this study, what they're measuring is the amount of free radicals in the blood directly. Okay? So they draw the blood and they measure the free radicals. And a healthy level is considered to be 300 by this method. That's elevated here because these people are healthy individuals, but they smoke. They smoke cigarettes. And so they have high levels of free radical stress. But taking pycnogenol for only 2 weeks, you see already a 25% reduction in the amount of free radicals in the bloodstream. 8-10 weeks, you see a 40% reduction. And if you follow this back, you come back to the 300 mark. So even though they're continuing to smoke, they're continuing to have the free radical stress from cigarette smoking, but it's the antioxidant effect of pycnogenol is effectively reducing their burden in their body down to a healthy level. So if you must smoke, definitely take pycnogenol. But do not use this as an excuse to smoke. The best thing is not to smoke. Deirdre also talked about recycling these antioxidants in the body, and pycnogenol can do this. It has been shown to recycle vitamin C back to the active form after it's been oxidized. And this is very important because vitamin C can then recycle vitamin E in the body. So this really boosts the body's antioxidant potential. And all of this is great because it protects the DNA from free radical damage. And this is how you can help to reduce the risk for cancers. This is a study showing exactly that. This is a measurement of oxidized DNA, so damaged DNA. Taking pycnogenol, you see within just 1 month, declines significantly. But then stopping it, it goes back up to normal. So a very significant reducing damage to DNA with pycnogenol. And the other thing for preventing or reducing the risk of cancer or even improving treatment outcomes is to boost the immune system. And pycnogenol has been shown in this is an animal study in this case, with mice. Mice, just the same as human beings, as we age, our immune function declines. So that's what you see here. You have the young mice with a very active immune system and the old mice where it's declining. Okay? So immune function decline increases risk for cancer to spread or to develop. Here you see these same old mice, you give them pycnogenol, and within 2 months they have their immune system functioning almost back to the level of the young mice. So it's boosting immune function in this sense. And we've seen this with decreasing the risk for skin cancer in animal studies as well. So these are mice that are continuously exposed to UV radiation for 30 weeks. And you can see that the mice that were taking pycnogenol, they didn't start developing any tumors until much, much later compared to the mice that were not eating pycnogenol. And also what you will notice is that there's about 60% of the mice developed tumors. But that means that 40% had none. Whereas in the placebo group, every single mouse had tumors. So this is a very nice protective effect that is being shown here in this animal study, decreasing the risk for skin cancer. And then if you look at epidemiology, these studies, long-term studies of dietary intake, you see that again and again, increased flavonoid intake, these polyphenol compounds, significantly is showing a protective effect, and that the number of cancer cases in people with high diets, high in polyphenols, is much, much less than people who do not eat these compounds. So that was the prevention of cancer with that. And then number two is talking about lung diseases and lung function here. Now, pneumonia is actually quite a common cause of death in the elderly in particular. It can happen very suddenly, and of course the main problem is you cannot breathe properly, and so that is the main cause of death in this case. It's basically a condition of inflammation in the lungs. There could be many different causes, but it's inflammation there. And then there's chronic lower respiratory diseases such as COPD. This is where the structure of the lungs begins to break down. Then you have conditions like chronic bronchitis. This could be related to allergy as well. And then chronic asthma, also very closely related to allergies. So this is emphysema or COPD, where the structure in the lungs begins to break down. The walls disappear. So you have fewer air sacs in the lungs, and therefore you cannot get enough oxygen into your body. And then, so bronchitis, you have a chronic constriction of the airways with bronchitis and mucus production. Similar thing going on with asthma too, except with asthma you get spasm of the airways, and therefore you can have constriction of the bronchioles and mucus production there too. And then for asthma in particular, allergies is a big issue, and it's a quite common phenomenon. WHO predicting an increase of about 20% in asthma cases in the next 10 years in this region, due to pollution mainly. Pycnogenol reduces inflammation in the body. Several different pathways, important pathways for lung function, have been seen with numerous studies in asthma. So this is the most recent study in asthma patients. Now, these were adults, and they were taking pycnogenol in conjunction to asthma treatment. And there was another group that was taking a placebo compared to the pycnogenol in addition to treatment. And all of these patients, this was asthma related to allergies, to dust mites. So here we are. You can see in 6 months of treatment that this is a fluticasone, it's a nice name, but it's basically a steroid inhaler. And you can see that those taking the steroid alone, there is improvement in function. However, with pycnogenol, that improvement is much more significant over the same time period. And then, as a result of better improvement in lung function, there's fewer frequency of asthma attacks. As you can see with the steroid alone, there's no significant reduction in the rate of frequency of asthma attacks. However, with pycnogenol, you see that the frequency of asthma attacks has been cut in half by adding pycnogenol to the treatment. And then, furthermore, you have very nice results in that over half of the patients that were consuming pycnogenol, they were able to reduce their steroid medication. This is very good. Anytime you can reduce medication in the body, it's a good thing, because medications always have side effects of some level. And then 19%, whereas in the 19% of the patients on medication only actually had to increase over the same period of time. So I personally have had asthma my whole life, and this is one of the things that I first found that worked for me with pycnogenol. And again, it's the same thing with immune function. You have to boost immune function to help improve the body's ability to fight off pneumonia or bronchitis, these types of things. So you can have this effect with pycnogenol as well. And even for virus infections, this was another study that was done with mice, whereas you can see this is the normal natural killer cell activity level, so this is an immune cell. And you can see that giving pycnogenol to the mice, the natural killer cell activity increases. These are healthy mice. Then they infected the mice with the virus. And you can see that in the normal mice, the natural killer cell activity declines. Whereas in the mice that were taking pycnogenol, eating pycnogenol, they were able to maintain a normal level of natural killer cell activity. So this is improving immune function, again, in the case of viral infection. And this supports our data with the common cold. So in a common cold, generally the symptoms last about 10 days, and it doesn't really matter what you do. The cold will generally run its course in about 10 days. But there can be what they call negative sequelae of a cold. In other words, cold goes from an upper respiratory cold into bronchitis, which could very quickly proceed into pneumonia. In this study, they combined pycnogenol with vitamin C, or vitamin C and zinc, or zinc by itself, just to look at the effects and compare to pycnogenol by itself. And what they saw was that the best effect was down here with pycnogenol and vitamin C, in significantly reducing symptoms in a very short period of time, only 4 days, and the symptom scores have already come down by half. That's compared to standard cold medication use, where the symptoms are basically about the same over those 4 days. So very nice effect there. And then we have another study on the common cold that was just published last year. And it was a bigger study, so more patients involved. They investigated more symptoms. And here's what they saw. So at the start, symptom scores were about the same in each group. In the control group, just taking standard medication, the symptoms reduced in about 4 days from about 7 to 5, basically. And then for the pycnogenal group, there was a reduction from 7 to about 3. So much more significant relief, faster relief of cold symptoms when pycnogenal was added. And they looked at complications. So this is an extension of the disease. So the disease, the cold lasts longer, a longer period of time, or it moves down further into the throat, or into the bronchi, into the lungs themselves. And pycnogenal was very successful at decreasing this extension or complication of the disease. So that's how pycnogenal supports lung function, boosting immune function, boosting lung function in the case of asthma, and it's basically through its anti-inflammatory action. So now we're into heart disease and cerebral vascular diseases. So these are basically the same condition, just different locations in the body as to the different disease name. There's one other one that we could add together in here, and that would be diabetes, because diabetes is very closely related to heart disease. And if you add in the rate of diabetes along with the cerebrovascular disease and cardiovascular disease, you have a much higher percentage of patients who are actually dying from these three in combination. This is much more similar to the rate of cancer. Or the rate of death caused by cancer is very similar to heart disease. So the good thing is that there's a lot of things that you can do in your lifestyle to modify your risk for this. There are many different things. Of course, smoking, lack of exercise, obesity, blood sugar, blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, all of these things contribute to increasing risk for heart disease. And luckily, we've seen good results with pycnogenal in helping to improve just about all of these risk factors. And then there could be heart problems, infections, and then there's a small percentage of the population that has a genetic tendency to develop these problems, or they have congenital heart defects. So with cerebrovascular disease, basically you're talking about blood vessels from the neck up. Is cerebrovascular disease. And basically, you're seeing this atherosclerosis in these blood vessels, which increases the risk for stroke. But pycnogenal has been shown again and again to be very, very effective at improving the function of the blood vessels and strengthening them and improving blood flow. Therefore, it can decrease the risk for clots, and therefore help be very good at reducing disease risk. And it doesn't like me again. What did I do to you? So this is what happens. I'm glad we're back. This is what happens. So this is the blood vessel. These are the endothelial cells that line the blood vessel. And somebody want to hit a button there to advance the next one? It doesn't like me. It just peeps at me. Try that one. Hey, there, now it's working. Okay. So what happens is the pycnogenal comes into the bloodstream and it goes into inside of these cells. And it stimulates this enzyme, which is called eNOS, to produce more nitric oxide. Okay, nitric oxide production increases and you see these surrounding smooth muscle cells that are around our arteries, they begin to relax. I know you want to relax. Come on. Oh, that was quick. Relax very quickly. Okay, go ahead, advance. Okay, there we go. So, boom, the blood vessels expand. And so it allows the blood vessels to dilate. and therefore you have better blood flow. And it also acts on the blood platelets to decrease their stickiness and reduce the risk of clot. So this is, of course, very great for heart health, blood vessel health throughout the whole body. And when I say that too, I mean, talking about the Deirdre mentioning, you know, performing better naked, it's the same thing going on here too. So for men's health, you know, not from the stomach, but a little bit lower, same idea going on here, and this is the action that's doing it. And we have data to back that one up too, but I won't be going into that today. Yeah, we'll save that for next time. So significant improvement in blood flow. So this study only used a dose of 60 milligrams per day, and within 1 month, there was 80% of the people that had a significant improvement in their blood flow, in the small blood vessels, in the capillaries. So what happens here, essentially, is that if your blood flow is poor, then you're not getting enough nutrient supply and oxygen supply to the tissues. And this may not manifest as disease right away, but you'll have you become into this pre-disease state where you have fatigue, you know, you're not thinking clearly, you just can't function as well as you'd like to. And what pycnogenol can do is strengthen or allow the blood vessels to dilate. Come on, there we go. Dilate, improve blood flow and oxygenation to the tissues, and therefore you have happy and healthy organs that can help you to feel better and everything else. That's the story about improving blood flow and supporting body function, and also at the same time reducing disease risk. So here's another study that was done at the University of Hiroshima in their medical school there. They took the best guinea pig of all college students, and they gave them pycnogenol or they gave them placebo for 2 weeks, only 2 weeks, very short period. Then they injected them with something called acetylcholine in the forearm to see the improvement in blood flow. Acetylcholine stimulates nitric oxide production. So basically, it allows the blood vessels to expand, and therefore you see, even with the placebo, you see a significant improvement in blood flow due to acetylcholine. Pycnogenol does the same thing. It also stimulates nitric oxide. So when you give somebody pycnogenol, then you inject them with acetylcholine, this is what happens. So you can see it's 1.5 times stronger effect. They improve the blood flow 1.5 times greater than placebo. So this is showing you that in a human clinical study, pycnogenol is stimulating better nitric oxide production, better blood vessel function, and this is improving the heart health and the health of the whole circulatory system. And at the same time, pycnogenol has also been shown in multiple studies to help balance cholesterol levels. So reduce the bad LDL and increase the good HDL cholesterol. And this helps reduce your risk for heart disease and atherosclerosis. Because really this atherosclerosis is oxidized cholesterol building up on the blood vessel walls. So if you can reduce the amount of cholesterol or increase the amount of the good cholesterol, then you, and at the same time provide good antioxidant strength, then you can reduce the risk of atherosclerosis. So here's a study, actually this was the one that was in Australia for people with elderly people with cognitive function. But what they were looking for was the ability of pycnogenol as an antioxidant to inhibit or to protect fatty tissues from being oxidized. Now, since pycnogenol is water-soluble, you might think that the effect is not as good in preventing fats from being oxidized, because pycnogenol cannot get inside of fatty tissues just because it's water-soluble. However, pycnogenol is abundantly strong enough as an antioxidant that it is very effective in protecting fatty acids from being oxidized. Essentially, what this funky-looking name here, F2 isoprostanes, this is oxidized fats from the cell walls, okay? And pycnogenol significantly reduced free radical stress in the body and significantly reduced the amount of this oxidized fat metabolite in the body. And it's through this action that it's believed to help protect the brain and the tissues in the brain, and therefore improve cognitive function. But it's the same thing in the heart as well, in the circulatory system as well. Again, reducing the risk for atherosclerosis and slowing down or stopping the progression. Blood clots, too, are also very closely related to nitric oxide production. So nitric oxide acts on the platelets to decrease their stickiness and therefore improve blood flow. You can decrease the risk for blood clots, whether it's in the head or in the heart. So this is your blood clot. You don't need to cut yourself for the platelets to form a clot. If you have, if you're dehydrated, if you have a lot of inflammation in the body, if your blood sugar is high, if your cholesterol is high, this will increase your risk for forming a blood clot. If your platelet activity is too high for whatever reason, then you're at risk for developing this. And once this clot reaches a small blood vessel, this is a stroke or a heart attack, essentially. So pycnogenol very nicely decreases platelet reactivity back down to a normal level in patients who have elevated platelet activity. So again, this is a study that was done with smokers, because by smoking, you increase inflammation in the body, and you can increase the risk for blood clots. So these particular patients were not responding to aspirin therapy. That's the typical standard treatment. So they gave them pycnogenol at different dosages. You can see that as little as 25 milligrams was enough to help reduce platelet reactivity and reduce their risk for blood clots. Giving them one dose of 150 milligrams normalized their platelet function for 1 week. Just one dose. So it's a very nice effect in these people. And therefore you can reduce the risk for these clots in developing. This is a very interesting study, very exciting one. It was done over 2.5 years with over 1,000 patients involved, 1,300 patients involved, several treatment groups. And what they were looking at was the ability to stop the progression of atherosclerosis. Okay? There's no symptoms of atherosclerosis. The symptom is when you fall over with a stroke or heart attack. That's a symptom. You don't feel anything else otherwise, okay? So it's a scary disease because it's a silent killer, as they call it. So the idea was to, with pycnogenol being a very strong antioxidant, pycnogenol boosting blood vessel function, you can reduce or slow down the progression of atherosclerosis. So the study involved patients who already had developed a medium grade or a low grade atherosclerosis. This means they had plaques in their arteries, in the carotid artery, in the neck, and in the femoral artery in the leg. So they measured the thickness of these plaques over 2.5 years with various treatments. So this is the results. You see, 50 milligrams, just 50 milligrams of pycnogenol was significant enough to reduce the progression of disease by more than 20%. In this group, there was nearly 22% of patients in the control group progressed to medium-level atherosclerosis. Whereas in the pycnogenol group, just 50 milligrams, this was reduced down to only 8%. So more than 50% reduction in the progression of the disease. When they upped it to 100 milligrams per day, this reduced the progression, the rate of progression, to only 5% of the population. It's a very nice protective effect. Combining pycnogenol with aspirin therapy here reduced it by 1%, so down to a 4% again. So very nice protective effect. You're essentially stopping the progression of atherosclerosis. And this is the number one thing that you can do to reduce your risk for developing a heart attack or a stroke. Improving blood vessel function, decreasing free radical stress in the body, so you're slowing down the development of these plaques in the arteries themselves. And at the same time, you decrease platelet stickiness, so you decrease the risk for blood clots. So very, very good for heart disease. That's why it's no surprise that pycnogenol is used as a pharmaceutical for blood vessel function and blood vessel health. in 11 countries in the world. So we're on to the last one, kidney. And somebody lost the lights there. Kidney disease. So, kidney disease. Now, there is acute and chronic kidney disease. Most common is basically this inflammation of the kidney, so nephritis. Anytime you see the itis, that means inflammation. Or then there's nephrotic syndromes or nephrosis, which has to do with more commonly autoimmune disease. Can be related to infection as well, but you have excessive protein leaking out of the urine, and this causes a lot of problems in the entire body. So the kidney function is very important for maintaining a whole range of aspects of health. Of course, you know, it's important for producing the urine, which is, in other words, taking the waste out of our bodies, out of our bloodstream. It's also important for maintaining proper pH, so acidity level in the blood, and electrolyte balance. So these are the minerals and electrolytes in the body. And volume, of course, the volume of your blood, how much blood you have in your body, and this will also affect the blood pressure as well. So causes of kidney dysfunction, long-term high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, infection, and genetics plays a small role too. But there are many different causes of kidney dysfunction. And if you look closely at a kidney, what you'll see is that they're basically balls of blood vessels. And it's these micro blood vessels. There are so many of them where the blood is being filtered through these, and so you're removing the waste from the blood here through this process. So you can imagine that blood flow is vital for proper kidney function. And if you have high blood pressure for too long, these small blood vessels get damaged very easily, and this will decrease the function of the kidney. And you decrease the function of its ability to filter, so you start to see more and more protein in the urine, and this is usually one of the first signs of kidney disease. So there's been several studies looking at kidney function in different subjects. So this one was with hypertensive subjects, so high blood pressure for long term. And as a result of this, their kidney function was beginning to decline. Now, they commonly use high blood pressure medication in these types of patients. So these patients were on a drug called Remipril. And in addition, half of the group also received picrotinol on top of the drug. So this is what they found. So this is what they're looking at, urinary albumin here. Albumin is a protein. Normally, it's you see very little albumin in the urine at all. So you're seeing high amounts of albumin in the urine, showing that kidney function is declining. So the start of the study, both groups are about the same. The high blood pressure medication itself does improve kidney function significantly. However, adding pycnogenol, you see a much more significant improvement in kidney function with the addition of pycnogenol. So better kidney function and slowing down the damage to the kidneys. There's multiple clinical studies. Part of this too is pycnogenol as being a super antioxidant, decreasing free radical stress within the kidneys itself, decreasing inflammation within the kidney itself, and therefore you can help to improve the healthy function of the kidneys and prevent the progression of the disease, improve the function of the kidneys. So here we are, the top five health concerns, and you can see that pycnogenol, because it has so many different in the body, super antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, improving blood vessel health and function, and then blood sugar as well. You can see that it's effective at reducing disease risk and improving body function related to all of these top five health concerns here in Taiwan. So again, just to summarize, I'm Taiwan, Hong Kong. What country am I in today? That's my biggest problem when I go to check out in the morning and they say, what was your room number? What was it today? Yeah, so again, just to summarize, super antioxidant, one of the most powerful natural water-soluble antioxidant compounds, improving blood vessel function, reducing the risk for heart disease, improving function of the blood vessels, reducing cholesterol levels, rebalancing them, triglycerides as well. Anti-inflammatory, this is very important for slowing down the progression of heart disease as well, reducing the risk for this, and maintaining proper body function. And then the blood sugar, which we didn't really touch on here, but significantly slowing down the digestion and absorption of sugars. Therefore, it can lower the blood sugar, particularly in diabetic patients. And this can be very beneficial in preventing the development of various diseases, as well as slowing down the eating process. And then lastly, what I talked about in my earlier talk is the benefits on skin health. Of course, this can improve your appearance, but more importantly, it's improving the health of your skin, particularly as we age, seeing some actions where it's actually restoring a more younger, healthy function within the skin itself, which is a pretty cool finding. So there we are. Make each new day a little bit brighter with technology. Thank you. Thank you.